Good morning. It's a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day to honor our mothers. And these two passages talk about two wonderful mothers of tremendous faith. In the Old Testament passage, we have Hannah, who was so passionate about having a child that she would go to the temple and she would pray so passionately, get so wrapped up in her prayers that the priest Eli thought she was drunk. I mean, I don't know what she was doing, but she was swaying back and forth. She was into her prayer. She was asking God to bless her so she could be a mother. And he went over to her and said, "Hey, you know, if you've been drinking, you shouldn't be here." And she says, no, it's not that. It's not that. She says, I just want to be a mother so much. And Eli said, "It will be to you as you wish." And she bore Samuel, the great judge of the Old Testament. And we hear in this passage this morning that this woman of faith was so overjoyed at being blessed by having a son that when she was able to wean him, she brought him to the temple. She brought him to Eli and dedicated him to the Lord. And he was raised by the priest to become a man of God, to become a true servant of God. And in the gospel story this morning, we hear another marvelous act of faith. I really enjoyed this story. It's an unusual story. John is the only one who records the story of Jesus at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And I think it's interesting because we see that Jesus goes there with his disciples on the third day of the story, we're told, as he begins his public ministry. On the first day, he goes to the Jordan River. And although most scholars believe that most of the time John was baptizing down in the southern part of the Jordan River before it reaches the Dead Sea, obviously this is a picture of the Jordan River as it's coming out of the Sea of Galilee up in the north of Israel. And that's where most tourists are taken to view the Jordan River and to remember the baptism. And I remember very well that day that those in our party arrived at that section of the Jordan River. And I guess you get pictures in your mind of what that looks like. And I expected a pretty good sized river, and it's more like one of our creeks. You know, if you've ever noticed, been out to Camp Rockfish and crossed the bridge there where Big Rockfish Creek is feeding Lake Upchurch, that's about the size of the Jordan River, what we'd call a creek. But it was a slow-moving river. It was a beautiful place with trees on both sides. It was late in the afternoon. And something that touched me so much was to see the sunlight as the sun was setting in the west, coming through the trees on one side of the river and lighting up the trees on the other side of the Jordan River, so the bark appeared to be almost white. And I was very fortunate, as I carried around a ton of cameras with me on that trip, to get some beautiful pictures of that wonderful, peaceful setting. And can imagine that was the setting on the first day when Jesus went there to be baptized by John, to be recognized by God for his ministry that he was beginning. Then on the second day, Jesus began to gather disciples. He took away some of John's disciples because John said, "He who I've talked about has come into the world, and this is the man." So some of his disciples left and followed Jesus. And along the way, he picked up Peter and James and John and Philip and Nathanael. And then on the third day, they went to Nathanael's hometown, Cana of Galilee. They'd been invited to a wedding. Now, we don't know when they got there in the wedding process, but I think Jesus was ready to have a good time with his disciples. He was ready to enjoy life a little bit. One of the things I like about the Jewish faith is they know how to celebrate. Have you ever noticed that in the movies about Jewish activities and weddings? You know, they know how to have a good time. St. Teresa of Avila said that one of her problems with the church was gloomy Christians and the frowning faithful. And she often prayed that God would deliver her from people like that. I don't know what it is about us, but sometimes we come to church and forget God wants us to have a good time. And the Jews knew how to have a good party. I mean, when they had a wedding, you know, some of us who have daughters worry a little bit about weddings and think how bad it would be to have a wedding for a daughter and to pay for all of that, and it only lasts a couple of hours. Well, what if you had to pay for a wedding that lasted a week? I mean, see, we got it easy. They celebrated the wedding for a whole week. They partied for a week. People came and they went. And Jesus arrived probably near the latter part of the week to celebrate this wedding. He was ready to relax. He was ready to have a good time. He wanted to party. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. We need to enjoy life. God gave us this life to enjoy. And he was there to have a good time. And it may have been someone in his distant family, because Mary was there. And Mary was particularly concerned that the family was going to be embarrassed. Why? Well, they were getting ready to run out of wine. They'd made all of their preparations for this 7-day festivity. They were going to have a great time partying, but now they were going to be embarrassed because they were running out of wine. They didn't have enough to go around. I mean, can you imagine having a wedding reception and you don't have enough to take care of the people there? And Mary was concerned about this. So she went to her son and she said, "Son, they're running out of wine." And he looks at her as if to say, "Well, Mom, you know, I'm here to relax, have a good time. You know, I hadn't been here all week, just got here. I want to have a little fun. What do you want me to do about it? And by the way, you know, my time hadn't come yet. You know, I'm not really ready to get this ministry going right now." But what did Mary do? She did like most mothers do. They come up to you and ask you to do something, and you can protest all you want to, and they just ignore you and go off expecting you to do what Mama asked you to do. And that's what Mary did. She said, "Son, they're running out of wine." She didn't tell him what to do. She didn't stand around to watch him and see what he was going to do. As a matter of fact, she turned to the servants and says, "Anything he asks you to do, you do it." She paved the way for him to do whatever he needed to do. She had no idea what Jesus was going to do. She just said, "Son, take care of him." And she went on about her business. Well, Jesus was there to have a good time. He didn't want to work. He didn't want to start his public ministry right then. He wasn't really into doing miracles yet. But his mama asked him to. His mother had faith that Jesus would save this family from public embarrassment. And so Jesus told the servants to come over. Said, "See those 6 pots over there? Fill them up with water." You know, they looked at each other and says, "These people are about to run out of wine. He's got us carrying water to these big purification pots." Well, Mary told us to do whatever he said, so we'll do it. And so they started carting the water and filling up the containers. And then he told one of them, he says, "Dip this out and take it to the steward of the wedding." So they went over and dipped it out and took it to the steward of the wedding. And he sampled it and he tasted it, and it was fantastic. It was the best wine he probably ever tasted, and he wasn't expecting it that late in the wedding festivities. You know, if you've been partying for seven days, I don't care if you're just drinking Coca-Cola. After 7 days, I think your taste buds are a little whacked out, you know. And you see, they knew it back then. And so the plan was you serve the real good wine up front where everybody's taste buds are real clear and they're tasting it and they're going, this is good wine. I'm glad we came to this wedding. And then later on, after their taste buds were shot, you bring out the lousy stuff and you sort of work it in, you know. None of that. Jesus changed the water into wine, and it was better than anything they'd had before. And the steward says, you have saved the best to last. Well, you know, there's a lot of angles you can go on this story. Like many of the stories in the scripture, you can look at it so many different ways. But I just think the focus for me today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, is to think about the simple faith of a mother, the faith of Hannah, the faith of Mary, to make a request of her child over a situation that really you wouldn't think would concern the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, to worry about whether a family late in their celebration was going to be embarrassed or not. But his mother was concerned about that. And that mother's son became concerned and took care of it because of a mother's faith. You know, I'm so thankful for my mother today because she has been a model for me, as I hope your mothers were to you. She didn't have it easy. I think she had planned on being a stay-at-home mom. And she was really great with us. She played with us. I remember, you know, playing games with my mom as a young child and her spending time with me and my sister Marcia. And then things just weren't going right in our family, and my mother and father separated. They divorced, and later my father deserted us and left my mother in a terrific situation because she just wasn't sure she could make it on her own and support two young children, 8 years old and 5 years old. And that's when we left Charlotte and moved to Durham to live with my grandparents. And I love them dearly, and you know, you always love your grandparents. But my mother was that threatened by the prospects of being left totally alone to support two young children. And I remember how hard she worked. She wasn't able to play quite as many games because she worked so hard every day. And she came home very tired. But you know, she always encouraged us to go to church and to take us to church and do the right things. We didn't have a lot. We didn't even have a car until I was 17 years old. And that was an old Falcon station wagon, if you can remember those creatures. Old Falcon station wagon that my grandfather owned. Now, my grandfather, well, you know, he didn't waste money. So most of the cars he bought were kind of beat up when he got them. So you can imagine what it was like when he turned it over to us. But I tell you, it had four wheels on it and a steering wheel. So we were pretty happy. Those long walks to the grocery store weren't fun. Even though we had one of those little fold-out carts. You remember those, ladies? Little fold-out carts. You put your bags down there. But it's that walk home for a mile that wasn't so much fun. Wasn't like fun going to the grocery store. You knew there was a chore. You had to tote something back. But my mother worked so hard, so many years, to provide just the basics for us. But she was a great woman of faith. And I never will forget as a teenager when I went off to visit Methodist College and came back. I said, Mom, I'm going to college. Well, no one in my family had ever gone to college. And here my mom was, you know, doing a little better than she was when we first started. But she said, son, you know, if you go to college, I can't help you. You're going to have to get scholarships and work and whatever you do. She says, but if you believe it and you believe in yourself, I believe you can do it. And so I went off to Methodist College, and I was lucky enough to get some scholarships and to work a couple of jobs while I was there. At the end of my freshman year, I started pastoring my first church when I was 19 years old. And my mother's faith was there all the time. I said, "Mom, you think I'm ready for this? Gee, I'm just 19 years old. I'm going out there, and boy, there's people that are really old. They're 40 or 50 years old." Yeah, when you're 19, 40 or 50 is old. I mean, we probably had some 80 and 90 years old there, but you know, I thought at that time 40 and 50 was pretty old. And I said, "You know, they're going to listen to me." And she says, "Son, if you'll believe in the Lord and what the Lord has to do for you and will do through you, you can do it. I believe in you." And you know, a few short months ago when I was struggling with my career change, who was my greatest supporter? Mom. Still there for me. Still believing in me. Still telling me the talents I have and who I can be if I'll just believe in myself and trust in the Lord. That woman has now become one of my best friends. I mean, she's my mom. She's a mommy to me sometimes when I need to whimper and cry a little bit. You know, even my size and my age, I whimper and cry every once in a while to mommy. But you know, what's even greater is she's a dear friend now. Adult to adult. Not just mother and son, but a man and woman of different generations who share life, who talk together, who read about things and explore things and share them with one another. Because of her faith, I've been able to grow in ever newer relationships with her. Jesus was there at the wedding in Cana of Galilee to have a little fun, to have a good time. And his mother was worried about the embarrassment that this family would experience if the wine ran out. And Jesus solved the problem. Why? Because of a mother's faith in her son. And what I want to tell you this morning is, we don't have to be going through a crisis to turn to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for help. Jesus is interested in everyday stuff like mamas are. Jesus cares about whether you're going to be embarrassed in a social situation so you can turn to Him and ask for help. Jesus cares about whether you're having trouble with your algebra or geometry or science in school, which may seem trivial to us, but it's not if you're a student facing those problems. That's an everyday situation, and Jesus cares about that. When we're going through some everyday issue where we're a little down one day, Jesus cares about that. If we're worried about how the folks at church or some other place we're going are going to think of us, how we're dressed, or whether what we say is appropriate or not, our Lord cares about those everyday things. And a mother's faith revealed that to us. That this Jesus that we have cares about us so much that the seemingly trivial, if it concerns us, concerns Him. That mother turned around and said, "Jesus, handle this." And that's an invitation to us to take everything that's happening in our lives. If it bothers us, if it concerns us, if it troubles us or perplexes us, then we ought to be sharing that with Jesus. Because He'll be there to help us. He'll make a difference in the little things just like He does in the big crises. Jesus cares about every aspect of our lives because He came and lived in a family that had everyday problems just like you and I. I'm glad John decided to include that story in his gospel. How an everyday concern of a mother brought our Lord to perform His first miracle in His ministry. The everyday things are important to our Lord. And what's happening to you every day is important to Him. And all you have to do is do what Mary did. Turn to Jesus and say, "Jesus, here's my problem. Here's what I'm facing. Take care of it and then go on about your business, trusting that Jesus will always do what's best for you and me. That's what you'd expect your mother to do, wouldn't you? Well, God said He'll be everything to us we need Him to be. And if you no longer have a mother here to show you that kind of love and to respond to you in those everyday things, Jesus said, turn to me, I'll be that to you. Whatever need you have, big or small, Jesus says, I care, and I will respond to you if you'll just ask me. Let us pray. Gracious Father, as a child, there's very little that we wouldn't take to Mama and ask for her help. From the tiniest trivial thing to the most serious things in our lives, most of us would have easily run to Mama and said, Mama, help me. Almighty Father, help us to know that when our mother's not there, maybe she's gone on to be with you, or maybe she's thousands of miles away, when we wish we could reach out and touch her and be near her and feel her comforting embrace, that you are there for us, for the everyday things. We don't have to wait until there's a crisis. That we need to have a good everyday relationship with you, Lord, so we can bring the little things as well as the big things, knowing that you love us not only with the love of a father, but the love of a mother who would embrace us with tremendous faith and meet every need she could. Thank you, Lord, that you're there for us that way. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.